Blog Talk Radio.
I love the way he speaks. I love the way he thinks. I love the way that he treats his mama. I love that gap in between his teeth. I love him in every way that a woman can love a man, from personal to universal, but most of all it's unconditional.
That's what we're doing. Yeah. Oh, we're gonna play a silent game. See who talk first. That's what we're doing.
Why do we always go through this every once a month? It's only once a month. It's, the show is only once a month. Once a month.
You
once
sound very far away. That's what you sound like. You're in a distance somewhere. I just want you to know that.
Once a month. That's it.
There you go. Because the once a month is all we can handle. That's all. That's, I can't handle no more.
No, that's all you can handle. Cause you
I
know,
just said I can't handle no more. So you don't listen. That's
anyway.
Why we do it once a month. You don't listen.
Whatever.
They just know all about signs and symbols, and you didn't even take the sign I threw at you. I'm about to throw gang signs or something. I'm about to hit crip walk or something. What the hell?
I'm not paying you no more. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Seeking Empowerment.
you know, you're like,
we are. I lost my train of thought. Just messing with you.
Everybody, welcome to Seeking Empowerment. This show is about signs and symbols. You have your host, Eric Timmer, with your co-host, me, Dia, a.k.a. Ori's Oasis. And we also got an engineer tonight, the beautiful. Should I say D or can I say your name? I don't know if you want your name out there. I'm a little confused.
DJ. Call it DJ. Go DJ. That's my DJ. Go ahead.
So I would like the DJ's permission to call her DJ, not you. Thank you very much. Rude.
That's fine.
Rude.
Just so rude.
Thank you. Rude.
This is what you don't need to sign up for. You don't take her side automatically once. Yeah,
why not?
Yeah,
exactly.
Uh-huh.
I like her. Yeah.
What the hell? What the hell ever, man? I give up.
Anyway, everybody in the chat room, thank you so much for joining. Everybody's listening, thank you for joining. This show is about signs and symbols. I'm not even sure where we want to get started at, but since Eric is better at introducing and giving everybody the whole breakdown, I'm going to let him do that because I just get straight to the point.
Well, you could have just got straight to the point since you dogged me.
I did already.
But anyway, I'll break it down and stick with something simple so that people can relate, because a lot of times we get into I wish I could stab you through the phone. I would. I'd stab you right through the phone.
The virus. Oh, my gosh.
And, before we go, do you want to talk about Blab
real
quick?
Before
we... Huh? What'd you say?
Nothing. I'll talk about Blab. Okay. There's a website called Blab I Am, and where basically we were supposed to do it this show, but I guess we're not going to. And
no.
The show's to come on Seeking Empowerment, and hopefully on Common Sense Conversations, you will be able to see our faces while we do the show, and there'll also be another chat room where you can ask questions there. So sign up. All you need is a Twitter account. If you don't have a Twitter account, you still can sign up for it, and there'll be no problem. And we can take your questions and everything there, and this will make it more interactive show for us. A lot of times in the chat room on Blog Talk Radio, we'll be in our own little world having our own little side conversation that ain't got nothing to do with the show. So... y'all can take a deal. We'll do that, and that hopefully we'll start it up next month or whenever we start the show back up again, because we're about to take a hiatus, so I'm just letting y'all know. I mean, Eric ain't trying to have that, but I'm trying to have that, so I'm putting that energy out there that we're going to take a hiatus for a little while.
Yeah. Just take Adis
take
out of
fire.
There.
Take that fire. Take
Adis out of there, and you'll know what she's going to be doing, getting high. But anyway.
I don't get high. I get tipsy. No difference. I did too much stuff to get high. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. People call in and want to listen to the show, and just not. They logging in, logging out. But anyway, if you want to be a part of tonight's show, you can do that by calling in. The call-in number is 917-889-2823, 917-889-2823. And you're welcome to join in the chat room. The chat room is wide open. Be a part of tonight's conversation via chat if you want to. If you have a question and you're on the phone, press 1, and you'll be queued up, and we'll bring you through to talk. And after that, if no other questions, no other side comments, yeah, moving right along.
Really? Because I'm always have a side comment.
I know. That's why I quickly said moving right along.
Mm-hmm.
Moving right along. Like Dia said, the host of the show, Dia, said, we're talking about signs and symbols. And, one of the things that I've realized that a lot of times we aren't aware of what these things are that come up, that we see, especially on TV, media, we're susceptible to a lot of symbolism and a lot of signs that are presented to us. And one of the things that I was talking to Dia about earlier in the week was the commercial Voya. And if you don't know what Voya is, it used to be ING. ING, basically, Voya is a banking company. And
so they don't know what the hell that is.
Yeah, you put your money into it, and it's on. They do a lot of online stuff. But anyway, it used to be ING. You used to see the symbol of the lion. But I was watching it, and they were talking about money. And as they were discussing money, anything that has to do with Voya, the words Voya, V-O-Y-A, is written out in orange. So anything that they're talking about is in orange. You'll see the dollars coming in the color of orange, and they fold it down, and then I think they came into the image of rabbits, if I'm not mistaken. I have to look at the commercial again, but that's if I'm not mistaken. But everything that we see, a lot of times when you're dealing with companies like Fortune 500 companies, dealing with a lot of CEOs, even the Nike swoosh that you see, a lot of these companies practice, delve into the metaphysical, but also use symbols as a way to send messages across to other people, as well as a lot of symbolism to sell products to you that you just may not be aware of. So we're just going to talk about that tonight. And do you want to explain what the orange means and why I brought it up? I'll let you, you're the host.
I do not accept that sign that you're trying to send me right now. You are the host. Stop playing. You got me saying, dang, nabbit. Okay. So basically, the color orange, first of all, you can take it a couple of different ways, so I'm just going to explain two. One, when you're dealing with chakras, chakras are the energy vortexes in the body. The major ones that people know are 7 different ones, and chakra deals with the number 2 chakra, which is the sacral chakra. The sacral chakra basically deals with the creative energy or your ability to create, your ability to create is the best way to do it. So that sacral chakra is the one that pulls in the energy to do other things. So that's one color orange. Also, the color orange, too, heavily deals with the harvest. You know, as you go into the fall season, as you see the colors, a deep green, the reds, the oranges, the yellows. So it deals with the harvest season. So that's also, and also the harvest season, you're reaping. So, again, that still deals with pulling in energy. So with that commercial, basically saying dollar signs and with it being orange, most people think that, you know, see the dollar signs and they think their money's going to grow. No, you're growing the business. And that's why they have the dollar signs in orange, because they want to harvest the other people's money so they can take the business a step further. So I'm going to leave it there because that was basically it.
Okay. So I guess when we're talking about what some of the things that we deal with, like I said, you see it on TV, the images, something simple. Okay, let's go start with the basic stuff, because a lot of people realize it, but maybe don't realize it. The imagery that they use in order to sell something, like they use sex as a to sell everything. I saw the last real commercial was the woman that was, they gave you the impression that she was naked and they were selling a hamburger. And the guy was squeezing the bun and she turned around and looked like, you know, like she was being touched, or whatever the case may be. It's just the imagery that they sell to you. Why it's important to me is not only just the imagery, the things that you see, but also the audio, the auditory, the things that you hear. We talk about, you know, today we said, the rap industry, I'm big on this. When you listen to the rap industry and you're talking about the information that's being sent to them, sent to the children. Why me, Lord? Why? And I talk to, you know, talk to people about the fact that rapping is poetry. Poetry, depending on, you know, and when you have poetry and rhythm together and you can repeat it, and it becomes a chant. So if you're repeating the same type of information over it, you begin to digest it. You digest that information.
Did you belch? Did you just belch?
No, I didn't just belch. No, that's you, okay. Not me.
I didn't belch yet. I'm not finished this cup.
This show should be called Alcoholics Anonymous Seeking Empowerment, not...
Why? I'm not anonymous. I'm not anonymous. I love my liquor. You're not anonymous about me.
Help me. Okay.
Who is going to help you? What type of symbolism and sign is that?
Nothing. But anyway, what was I saying? Rap, chanting, the information that you process, it goes into you. You digest that information. You start to begin to produce that information. It becomes a part of your way of being. So that has a lot to do with what we're doing and why we're singing. Yeah, see, she's over there singing. Alcohol got into it. That's why we're doing this show.
That's not the alcohol. I was just singing. It's an example. Even though that's not a rap song, it's an example of what you're talking about, how the raps and stuff, they go into, you know, you don't even think, like most people think about the songs that you don't even like, and then somehow during the day it's replaying in your head. You can't get it out of your head. It's because they actually have a whole mathematical formula where they put it to a certain beat that puts your brain on a certain wave. I believe it's the either theta or delta wave. But either way, it puts your brain in a subdued or meditative state where it bypasses the logical side of your mind and goes to the subconscious mind. And then that's what Eric is talking about, when it gets into you, and then all of a sudden it becomes a part of you, becomes a part of your being, and you don't even know that. That's one of the dangers of, it's one of the great things about music, but it's also one of the dangers of music. Because, you know, everybody knows, or at least in the cult world, they always can say about the books you read, by the TV shows you watch, by the movies you watch, and by the music you listen to, we can always tell exactly who you are or what level of vibration or what your life is about right now just based off of that. Because what you put into you is going to dictate your perception, and you're going to act it out in your everyday life. So that was just an example, see? Dang it, I'm paying attention. It's a method to my madness. Now.
Okay.
Now what?
So.
Say something.
What? You're only trying to try me to get me to act out with her. I'm above
that.
Because
they need to see the real you. Darling, they're not going to just be sitting there thinking I'm the only one crazy. They need to see the real you. They need to see the you that I see off the air. Honda.
The real me off the air.
Off the
I'm
air.
I'm like this
asshole.
All the time. I don't even know what
the
you're
asshole.
Talking about. What?
They need to see the asshole. That's what he said.
I can't believe you said such thing on air.
Like, okay, wait a minute. Let's break it down. Like attracts like. So if I'm an asshole, birds of a feather flock together, goddammit. You asshole too. Don't be trying to hide it. Don't be trying to.
I don't. If you'd like to call in and break up this and ask a question, please call in. But there are books written all over, and actually, even before that, if you listen to someone like Tony Browder, someone like Tony Browder who actually takes tours in areas like Washington, D.C., and he will point out the symbols that are in Washington, D.C., like the
Give an example.
The name of that thing? Huh? What?
I was saying give an example. Go.
Oh, like the I want to say the obelisk, but it's not. The Washington Monument, that's what it is. The Washington Monument is one of the symbols, and actually he actually places that symbol, and you can find, actually, you see obelisks all over the United States. I've seen some, actually seen one in Mississippi along the highway of I-55. Yeah, that was it, I-55. But anyway, you see it, and he connects it to, you know, the Egyptian or Kemetic history, you know, as far as where it comes from, what it represents. You can find that. He also discusses...
What it represents?
The phallus. The erect phallus.
What the hell is a phallus? Can you sound like I'm...
I just said the penis.
Penis? Oh, okay. I'll just make a shot.
See what I'm saying? See, this is why we can't have a decent show. People don't want to listen.
This is why our show is decent. You're trying to talk in riddles and signs and symbols and expect people to understand. Hell no.
Because eventually when you hear it, when someone breaks this down and when they say the obelisk, and they're going to say the erect phallus, they're going to say phallus, and they're going to refer to phallus worship. You should also be able to correlate, say, okay, phallus. Phallus is penis, dick, cock, whatever you want to call it, but that's what it is.
You should
that's
be.
What it relates
most people
to.
Don't know where phallus is. A lot of people don't
but
know where
phallus
is. But that's
why I said it first.
Most people think phallus start with an F. Just let's be honest.
P-H-A-L-L-U-S, phallus.
Thank you.
But anyway, like I was saying, Tony Browder also breaks down the layout of the city of Washington, D.C. to talk about, you know, how the city is set up. They talk about the symbolisms of certain things like the Pentagon and what they represent.
We wasn't done with the obelisk. What happened to the phallus and the reflector pool and why they match up and line up?
Well, why don't you explain it?
You were talking with Tony. I thought, hey, dang it.
Go ahead and explain it.
I'm gonna make it real simple. The energy that creates is the sexual energy. So anything that's gonna create is going to resemble the sexual energy in some way, shape, or form. So with the phallus symbol, or the obelisk, or the Washington Monument, the shadow overcast over the reflecting pool. So when you look at the reflecting pool, the little pool thing that it has, you'll see the shadow of the phallus in it. Why? Because the reflecting pool represents the female energy. So with the phallus in there, it's like the phallus in the vagina, and that's why they have most of their speeches in there, because it reflects the sexual energy, and anything that happens in that area, it gives more power to it, or more correctly, if you want to go deep in the call, it gives more power to the government because you're on their property, giving energy to them when whatever you do, marches and all this other stuff in that particular area. That's all. It ain't that deep. It's deep. It ain't that deep.
That's it. That's all you got.
That's basically what the whole purpose of the phallus, where the position that Washington Monument is there for a particular reason, and the reflective pool is in the position that it is for a particular reason. Like, you can't give one up, you can't just have the piece and I have a vagina. That creates nothing. You got to, you know, show both sides of it. Excuse me for being a female and want to be represented in this conversation. Thank you very much.
Yes. Okay.
Me?
I swear. Okay. Anyway, what was I going to say? Symbolism, and even in when you go, no matter what city you go to, most government buildings, most local, you know, whether it's local, your city, local, state, federal buildings have some level of symbolism on them. Some symbols, some marking. I know if you look, some of the biggest things that we talk about nowadays, among especially in the rap culture, is the Illuminati and who belongs to the Illuminati and the blood sacrifice. Are you all right? Did I say something?
Yeah, I'm fine.
The possession of Dia? Did the exorcist?
In possession? I don't owe the Illuminati. Don't put that energy out there. What are you talking about, the possession of Dia?
I'm just asking. Gosh.
No. Go ahead. Come on. We're going with the rap
and people like,
and the sacrifices. Maybe I was trying to belch.
Okay. All right. So just like I said, symbolism is just looking at the practice, you know, art of shaping, using our objects, you know, to represent words or thoughts and ideas. Nike actually took the name and the swoosh and represents what the goddess Nike, and she's the goddess of victory, of winning. So you have to look at the history behind that and why they use it. Like I said, a lot of companies tend to use or rely on the metaphysical numerology and symbolism in order to get their point across. You can find
a recent one.
You know, go ahead.
No, I would say a recent one because most people don't realize one of the reasons. I mean, I know most people hate on Nicki Minaj. One reason why I love her is because she's into cult, and she's, like, when you understand the cult, you see how deep she's into it. And her new wine, her new Moscato wine is called Nyx. And when you, first of all, you understand the language, when you understand English language, the M and the N are interchangeable. So when you go back, well, I think it's Minx. But when you go back to, when you go actually study, there's actually a goddess named Minx or Nyx. One, I forgot which one it is. Either way, the element is interchangeable, and she's pulling that goddess energy into her video. And one of her videos that I love so much is the Anaconda video. And I know people make jokes about that, but if you actually look from a cult point of view, that video has symbols and rituals throughout the whole video. There's a rebirth that's happened. When you start off, you have the monkey in the tree, and I think it's the toucan bird, which start off with basically higher thought, and then the monkey, who's a trickster, but also very highly intelligent in how to get things done. And then a lot of people put down twerking, but they don't realize twerking comes from an ancestral dance. Dang, I forgot the name of it right now. But it comes from an ancestral dance, an African dance that basically starts off. Say it again.
I said fertility dance. Go ahead.
Yes, fertility dance, and it raises the vibration. It gets the energy going. It gets the kundalini chakra open. It's the energy that starts. It's the energy that's the opener, like the road opener that starts. And when you start paying attention to all the signs and symbolism, you start to see how it's being put in front of your face. And in that video, she perfectly places her products, every product that she's a part of, and you don't even realize it. And it, all of a sudden, you start wanting it and don't even know why. Because it's because of the rituals, the signs, symbols in that video. That's one example that I love to use, but there's many more across the board. Like signs, when it comes to the ones who know what they're doing, there's signs and symbols all across the board. Another one of my favorite people, and again, she's not rap, but Beyonce. And a lot of people are tired of hearing that. But as far as the song, let's just go with the song "Who Runs the World." She has hyenas. First of all, she has two tanks in the background that shoot in water. That is the male energy spewing their energy into the world. And then she has hyenas. Well, most people don't realize that hyenas, while lions may rule the day, hyenas rule the night. And in hyenas' pack, the lowest female is still higher than the highest male. And most people don't realize that in hyena pack. So there's symbolism in that, in the fact that she has an all-girl band. And she's highly feminine and for that female energy. You know, that people don't even see and realize how she's pushing that energy out there. Like, and that's just another example. The examples are so much and so many across the board. I can see the video in my head, but I can't think of the name of the song. Thank you. That's just another example of how it's out there. signs and symbols all the place, and people don't even realize it. The colors that they use in advertising, there's a certain color that stimulates hunger. There's another one that stimulates health. There's another energy that just calms people. Like, when you just come to color symbolism, that's how we use everywhere. It's the reason why every hospital has tans and blues. That's because, you know, it's calming, and also the tan is kind of healing. There's reasons for that. They also, you know, I believe it's the color yellow that you should put in your bathroom, and that's supposed to, just by looking at the color, it's supposed to help your digestive system. I have to look it up, but I believe it's the color yellow. But it's all over, and it's so subliminal that most people don't really know. The reason why most for sales, well, all for sales signs are red, is because, well, red and white, is because red is the color of the sacral chakra, the root chakra, and it automatically, instinctually symbolizes survival. Anytime you see red, you think of blood, and you need blood to survive. You think of a survival energy. So when you see cell, you automatically think, oh, it's a cell. I need that to survive. And then white is the color of manifestation, because white reflects. So white reflects that which you want to manifest. White is the color of manifestation. So when you see that, you think that this manifested thing is what you need to survive, and you automatically want to buy that cell without even knowing it. And that's something that's all over the place that people don't even realize. You know, and it's everywhere. That's just, okay. I'm going to stop right there.
Like, what's going? I was like, go ahead. Go the, it's your birthday. Go the, So, anyway, I was going to say, while you were talking about that, and I was looking for different examples, I was trying to think of it, but we, you know, like you're saying, we're surrounded by it. We just don't realize it. We don't realize the imagery that we're given. For example, and I'll give two examples since Dee was going on about it. One thing that I've learned, you know, you see things like when you see people, the dove, you know, most people can, you know, you see the dove because it represents a symbol of peace. The color, you know, certain colors represent, like Dee said, certain colors represent certain, you know, affect certain aspects or certain. What about the dove? What about it?
No, I just want to click, because when you go into the Catholic community, they're quick to say the dove is nothing but an albino pigeon. You know, they're quick to say that. Like, they took the dove and it's nothing but an albino pigeon, and they give you an albino pigeon so it eats off the ground, blah, blah, blah. But when you actually study, what's the word, zoology? It may be zoology. I'm probably wrong with that word. But when you actually study birds and stuff, you realize, while the dove is a cousin to the pigeon, but it's not an albino pigeon. I just want to clear that up for most people who you know, look at that and go, well, this is this. No. Actually, when people say stuff, always do your research. Even when we say stuff, do your research. Prove me wrong if you can. Prove him wrong if you can. Prove yourself right. Do your research. And then my research, the dove is not a pigeon, but it is a cousin. It's in the family of the pigeon. And that's just something that I want to get out there, because you hear that a lot going around in the conscious communities and the Black communities saying this stuff, and it's like, no. You need to really research and read and pay attention and realize that when most people talk, they're talking to prove a point. So within their point, you have to learn how to chew the meat and spit out the bones, and always ask for their resources and go to their resources and read it up and see the resources in whole and its entirety. And go to the resources, and those resources, and find out exactly what everything means. That's how you'll get the information that we're talking about today. You have to do your research.
Okay. All right. Get it. That's right. Challenge. I don't mind the challenge.
Put the sand on the floor like they did with the Cosby Show. When he was doing the sand chair, he threw the sand on the floor. Challenge.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
You remember that episode?
No, I don't. I must stop watching.
Oh, you should.
Moving on.
Don't act like you ain't home. Okay.
Symbolism, like I said, the dove represents, you know, you see the symbol of peace, but the colors that you represent, there's a reason why politicians will wear certain colors and color suits, certain type of ties. Everything is planned out for them. These colors.
Even to the way they stand. Yes. I'm sorry.
For the way they stand, the hand gestures, they all use the same. If you ever pay attention, they all use the same thing. The symbolism is there. That, you know, it's represented. Even the fact of not having facial hair, because even if you look There are only a few presidents that actually had facial hair, but there's a reason why they don't have facial hair. They keep their hair cut at a short length. It all represents
something. It's non-threatening.
Somebody. Yeah, it's non-threatening. And it's something, you know, they wear red so that you can trust, or blue as a symbol of trust, or you feel comfortable with that person. If you go back to Ronald Reagan and the Reagan administration, people laughed at his wife, Nancy, for having an astrologist, or was it? It was a medium, some type of medium. I can't remember exactly when, but they used to have her come into the White House, and she would get her astrology report. I guess it was an astrologist, but they used to have this medium come in and do, you know, different types of work. People used to laugh. But if you also are of that time and you remember, because Dia was just a baby, like a little baby, little extra small baby. But anyway, during that time, you
I accept that.
Also
I am
heard,
much younger than you. Thank you very much.
You are not that much younger than me.
I am too.
Anyway.
Oh, man. Thank you very much.
But people would also say that Nancy ran the White House as well. My personal belief is that George Bush, the first one, ran the White House, because if you don't know his history, before he became vice president and people were calling him a wimp, he was the director of the CIA. But that's a whole other story. But like I said, colors are used in order to manipulate the way you think about a person, certain words, certain hand gestures, even the way they dress and they shave. Like I said, you know, for instance, when you see a red rose, it stands for love and romance. Hence, you see February is drenched in the color red. Red also for the Chinese represents luck. So that's why you'll see them, you know, some houses, if you pass by a house
that
has a red door.
Yes,
the cherry blossom.
Yes,
there you go. Tell it. We have been conditioned to believe, you know, black is the symbol that represents evil and death or the unknown. That's one of the main things. That's hence the reason why Africa was at one point.
That's actually wrong.
I'm just saying that. Go ahead.
No, I just want to clear that up, because with black representing, first of all, when you go towards the etymology, evil only means disagreeable. So anything that disagrees with you, you find evil. And that's true. And that's what evil means. Just something that's disagreeable or something that don't agree with you. So when you go to color black does not agree with white. It's on two opposite ends of the color scale. And then black is the unknown, because in order to see in the – you have to be in the darkness for a long time in order to see what's there. It's like when you first turn a light off in your dark room, your eyes have to adjust to that darkness. But once your eyes adjust to that darkness, you can see everything that's there. You probably see more than what you would see in the light. So, you know, it also is a death, but we have to understand that death is an illusion. And that's one of the things they don't teach you publicly. They teach you publicly that it represents death. But anybody in the cult knows that death represents rebirth, and you have to be reborn in order to do anything different. Before you can do anything, you have to go into the darkness. Out of the darkness comes the light. So you have to go back into the darkness to look at everything and see what you want the light to shine on, what you want to manifest. And then you shine a light on that. And then that's what the world sees. But even in seeing that, there's a whole space of darkness the other world doesn't see. We can look at it as our personalities. We show people what we want them to see. We rarely ever show people everything. And most people have to sit there or watch really hard everything that we do at all times to see who we truly are, because we're manifesting or we're reflecting the light that we want them to see, but not the darkness or the whole totality of who we truly are. And this, and speaking of that, there's also a ritual that plays out all the time that people miss, especially with celebrities. Anytime a celebrity is being taken down in the media, look at what it is they're trying to rebirth on. Look at what it is they're going to do the next couple of years. Normally when they're trying to rebirth something that other people don't want them to do, they start to destroy their reputation, that light that they put out in the world. They come at that hard. Or when they want to come out as somebody new, there's all types of scandal and all types of other stuff. And then they go quiet for a little while, and they say they have rehabbed or this, that, whatever. Some really are, some are not. And then they come out as this whole new person, and they're doing a whole new thing, and it's in bigger and better ways. One key person to look at is not only Paula Deen, but look at Paula Deen's son. Look at what they're doing right now. Look at their connections to Tyler Perry. and look at the scandals that went down first, and now how they're out in the limelight doing other things. They do that time and time again, over and over again. Look at the Disney characters, or most of the Disney actors, I'm sorry, where they come out, you know, these cute little kids, and all of a sudden some type of scandal. They're this or that, they're crazy. Then all of a sudden they come out as this new person over again. Now, some really do go crazy, but some of them do not. You know, it's always some type of change. Or if it's somebody who's higher up, because Hollywood is nothing but an occult. They're nothing but magic. If someone's higher up, what they won't do, they won't take them down in the media, but you'll see it in the rituals in their videos. Whereas the old person is burning down and they come out as a new person, or their videos will go from black and white to color. That's also a symbol of rebirth that deals with that black energy where they're going back into the darkness, and now they're breaking out the light they want to show you, the light they want to manifest, the new light they want you to focus on. It's all around. You just got to pay attention to it.
All right. Oh, okay. It's my turn, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah,
your
turn. Your turn. I'm sorry. Your turn.
Okay.
Your turn.
Tag team. Let me see. So we got that darkness, you know, from the everything comes to light from the darkness. And I guess for me, I spoke from that, you know, the conditioning of looking at everything black is evil from the mindset of just that everything black is evil. Mm-hmm. There's no, you know, without any further understanding of what it is, we are often conditioned, you know, that translates to the color of the skin and the continent, you know, of places like Africa, the dark continent, the unknown continent. And there was a reason for it, a reason why they called it that. But let me see. You have certain things. You heard Stevie Wonder's song, Superstition, and he talks about it. And even musicians.
We should have had that song on the show.
Yeah. Oh, it's too hard to get. And this is why we will go to Blab and start using Blab while we do the show, so you can see Dia actually dancing while the show is going. I guarantee it. But you listen to certain musicians, and again, this is why I was talking about rap, but listening to certain, why the music industry has actually, they've kind of, it's almost like they took R&B and rap and blues and all these other genres that, and they changed them of the way, you know, if you know that music industry, you can't just be an artist that writes what you want to write. If you do, that's why you have these, what they call, we call them the underground artist, or, you know, because they don't get into heavy rotation. The songs that get into heavy rotation are songs, you know, the artist will write a song, the music industry decides, that company decides whether or not that song should go on the album. Because when you sign a contract, they say what goes against your contract, or like they may pay you up front. You actually have to work that, you know, almost like you have to pay it off. And they say, okay, well, this song is good, but we don't want it in the album. You don't need it. If you put it in there, they will tell you this song does not go against your contract.
Very
you have
true.
X amount of albums that you have to deal with.
Well, it's a formula
that you have to produce.
It's a formula for writing a song, and it's well known in the occult world. And what it is first is you bring them into the story. And by bringing them in, you just say average thing, average word. And then you bring them in. It's called, I want to say square in a circle, but when you look at it, the circle would be considered your spirit and your emotion, and then square would be the word that's brought around it, that's putting your emotions in a box, that's holding your energy in that. So if you start from let's just say we're starting on the left-hand side of the square, we're going to go up. This is them bringing you into the situation, into the emotion, and you're into the song. And then it gets to a certain point where it plateaus. And this is where they're just like keeping you, now you're in the song and you're feeling good and you're feeling it. And then it goes down. This is the right hand and it goes down. This is where in the song they always bring in the big issues in a relationship or issues with money, issues with problems. This is bringing you back down again. And then with them breaking you back down again, they go to the part where they plateau, where they're trying to, where they start telling you how they got out of it and how you get out of it. They start bringing you back up again. And this connects you to the left hand side of the square, where now they start hitting them high notes, or they start rapping really fast, or the chorus gets a little faster, or they have a bridge in the song. that's the magical formula that they do every single time. And by trying to do that, they got you hooked into the song. And now they got you, your emotions hooked into the song. And once they got you hooked into the emotions of the song, they know darn well you're going to keep hearing this song again. And once you keep hearing the song again, they know that you're going to, once that song, once you keep hearing it over and over again, it becomes a mantra in your life. Once it becomes a mantra in your life, it's not in your subconscious. Once it's in your subconscious, it becomes part of your perception. Once it becomes part of your perception, it's now going to play out in your reality, which brings you back to the song because now it makes the song seem more real than what it was before, and it starts to cycle over and over and over again. And they know this, so they're only going to pick the songs that do that. Your turn.
My turn already? You didn't really go that far, but okay.
I went very far if you were paying attention. I just showed you how to, if you were trying to write a song, I just showed you exactly how to write the song that's going to sell. If you're just trying to make a buck, I told you how to write the song. If you're trying to go against the industry, I showed you how to write the song so you can go against the industry by still using the same formula and still have to sell mainstream, even if you're underground, even if you're an independent artist. This is what you do, and this is what hits people's souls, and this is what connects them. Also, your beat has to be a good beat, but also has to be a repetitious, meditative beat in order to put them in that certain delta wave, or I think it's theta wave. You have to look up the waves. But in order to put them in that mind state where it just plays repetitiously and they hit over and over and over again like a meditative state, that's basically all you're doing. So it's like even though I said it fast and I said it straight to the point, if you pay attention, listen to the songs you listen to, and you'll hear the highs, the lows, and you hear when they bring in the high notes, or they bring in the fast, or they bring in the bridge to capture you, and how they put you back in that hole, and how they put you back in that square again, and you start saying, yeah, and you want to hear that song. Oh, and most people, when they hear their favorite song, they want to hear it two or three times back, or they hear a new song that captures them. They want to hear it two, three times back to back. All you need is three times for it to go into your subconscious. All you need to do is hear a song three times for it to go into your subconscious. That's it. That is it. And it's the reason why certain commercials have jingles. And they say the jingle three times in that commercial. Or you're in a commercial and they say something, they may say the phone number three times in that commercial. That's all you need to hear is three times, and it's in your subconscious. Where the next time, next thing you know, you're saying the commercial with them, and you're like, I don't even know how I know this. That's why. It's a certain formula that they do. And they do it over and over again. So to combat that, you can use the same formula, but end it with a positive message on how to come out of that. Instead of talking about negative, you can talk about your experience and talk about how you come out of it and then bring people up about how they come out of it instead of bringing them back into that same cycle again. So if you're trying to go against it, you can still do the same thing. It's the same thing with speeches. When someone's giving a speech, it's the reason why they do dramatic pauses. It's the reason why they talk lower and then they talk higher. It's the reason why some parts they talk really, really fast. And some parts they talk really, really slow. They want to pull you in emotionally, and then once they got you, they bring you up based on what they say on their level, and they get you tagged in, and next thing you know, you're buying a bunch of crap you don't need, and then you get home, and you don't know what the hell to do with it. It's the same formula played out all the time in speeches, in music, in plays, in everything that you go see on stage. It's the same formula that's played out over and over and over again. And this is why I tell people always, if you want true power over your life, study the occult. And the word occult only means hidden. And hidden, when you study the hidden, you take the power back over your life. Because what's hidden are the things that you don't know that's controlling you. But when you study that, you can see that, and you can see how you can use it for your benefit and not to your detriment, and you can take the power back over your life.
The hidden. Sounds like a movie.
The hidden.
That
should be the hidden.
The hidden.
I'm going to watch the movie again. I love the cruise. I'm going to watch it again.
Let's see here. And even in going to movies like The Croods, just watching, even especially, I don't know what it is, but cartoons have heavy, you know, they often are heavy in symbolism. And, you know, one of the things that I was looking at was that I was reading something that talked about the five main elements that cartoonists use to convey their point. And, you know, one of them is symbolism. It's basically using an object to stand for an idea. And if you look at especially like the Looney Tunes, you'll see the symbolism. You'll hear the words. You'll see the certain images that they use to convey ideas that they want to illustrate, whether it was about the war or about race, anything that they wanted. You know, Tom and Jerry did the same thing. They use captioning and labels, and that's used to clarify it and, you know, place emphasis. They have the analogy, a comparison between – analogy is basic, for instance, Dean wants me to explain. Analogy is the difference between a comparison between two unlike things that share some characteristics. Okay? One person that I know for sure, if you've ever watched any of his cartoons, or even now his show, Black Jesus, Aaron Magruder, uses heavy, heavy irony. And irony basically is the difference between the way things are and the way things are expected to be. And a lot of people dislike him because they don't see the irony that he's trying to display. When you see how black culture is supposed to represent, my favorite cartoon as far as the Boondocks, the episode is when they, instead of being assassinated, Martin Luther King is shot and goes into a coma and wakes up. And the expectation is that black people have turned their lives around, and he comes out of a coma and says, is this what I got my ass shot for? And he breaks down a lot of things that we've just gone through. You know, they had a Martin Luther King celebration, and it was BET sponsored, and you had a little crowd, and people were dancing and all kinds of stuff. There was nothing that had
anything.
Yeah. So he uses heavy, heavy irony and exaggeration to explain things. You know, if you watch Black Jesus, you'll see the irony in it. You'll see the exaggeration to some degree. And for those of exaggeration, overstating and magnifying a problem or physical feature.
I don't think the first episode of Black Jesus was an exaggeration. That's just my personal opinion. Because I believe Jesus wants to come back. That's exactly what happened. I don't think the first episode was exaggeration, but I get what you're saying. I'll just say it.
Yeah.
I think the first episode was right on point.
But see, that's the thing. You'll get it if you understand how he's approaching it. But people will look at it and they will take the literal sense of what he's trying to say, and they're thinking disrespectful. You know, even if you listen to it on the radio show, people will say it, and they're trying to make it almost like it's a taboo thing. Like, okay, I watched Black Jesus, but I don't want to go to hell. And it's like, you ain't going to hell for irony, for laughing at irony. Because, and like I say to people all the time, especially people who are heavy.
You ain't going to hell for watching Black Jesus. You going to hell for all the stuff you do that you think nobody sees. When you was in the parking lot right after service, cussing out Sister So-and-so and Brother So-and-so in front of you because they ain't moving fast enough even though it's cars in front of them, and you trying to get McDonald's to get the breakfast menu before it closed, that's what you going to hell for. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm going to bring it back because, you know, I can go on and on with stereotypes like that. But basically, yeah, the one thing that I also want to bring up is that what most people don't realize as far as signs and symbolism mostly is the TV shows that you've watched growing up and how it dictated your life. And most of the TV shows that most people hail and honor as growing up, especially in my era, when you actually look at it, that's the reason why you have issues in your life now, because you took that in and it made your perception. TV shows like Martin, while it was a great comedy, the men were all, one was a total idiot, another one alluded to while he was a good man and he was supposed to be smooth. Where the hell did he work at? And then Martin, the main character, he was a damn fool. And then you had the women all making more money than the men, and they supposedly dealing with these men just because. And then you wonder why you keep getting with fool after fool after fool, and you going through problem. But when Martin did it and when Gina did it, it was funny. But when it happens in your life, it's not funny. And it's the same thing. You put that into you. When you, things like The Jeffersons, one of the shows that I love, the husband was still a freaking fool, always acting up, and he wasn't taken seriously. Even when you watch The Cosby Show, there's so many symbolism there that people miss. First of all, you got a doctor and a lawyer raising five kids, and they're home all the time. That is not practical or logical for a doctor and a lawyer to make it in their field, to have their own practice and become partners, to be home that much with their children without the help of a maid, nurse, nanny, or something. Not going to happen. But then on top of that, even though Cosby was highly respected, in that comedy show, you could see how most of the time they looked at him as the joke. pay attention. They was always laughing at him, and it was a, like a good comedy family laugh, but they were still laughing at him and what he did. And how Claire Huxtable, what she said, overread what he did most of the time. But her word was law, not his. You know what I mean? Like, and you know, and then you see it now playing out where the black man feels like he's not respected in his home. Well, why do you think all these shows show the black man not being respected in his home? So now the symbolism that it gave has now created perception, which now has created reality. And they don't see that. It's the same thing also with all the well, these little kids that watch as a kid, but now once I got a teenager, you bring in the gangster movies. And now you have the gangster movies where you have the men trying to be grown, and they're really not grown. They're still living at home with their mom, and they're doing this, they're doing that, all this little bunch of dumb stuff. And then the woman's supposed to put up with it. But yet the women seem to be able to be educated and to go on and to survive and thrive while the men are not supposed to. And then now you see that same perception where men feel as though they can't get nowhere. Why do you think? This image has been put in your head. So when you have the perception that you can't get nowhere, and two, you have the perception where the women, while they're dealing with you, quote-unquote, they really don't want you, but they feel as though they have to deal with you just to keep up with the race. All this has been shoved down our throats through social media, through TV, through movies, and we don't even notice it. You have to go back and pay attention. Look at Baby Boy. Look at Juice. Look at South Central. Look at Boys in the Hood. Look at all the movies. Just look at it. And then when you look at the movies, pay attention. The one they made fun of in all those movies and TV shows was the most conscious person in that show. You can even take it back. You want to go back to cartoons. I grew up on Tiny Toon Adventures. Tiny Toon Adventures, there's a character called Shirley. And her mantra was, "Oh, what a loon I am." But you pay attention, she's meditating. She's connected to the higher senses, and they crowned her. And I think it was Boys in the Hood. There was the Muslim who was in a hoodie sitting on top of the trying to get information to people, but he was sitting on top of the cooler. And they were basically clowning him the whole time. They do that show after show after show. You can go to other shows where what kind of shows are like? Meet the Falkers, where the guy's parents was highly spiritual and spiritual stuff, but they made them the joke through the whole freaking show. So it's not even just in black movies, in white movies too. The ones that's most spiritual is always the one that's made to be the joke. They do that over and over and over again, and you have to, not saying that you can't enjoy the show, because I enjoy those shows, but in order to enjoy them and them not affect your life, you have to know what you're looking at. You have to study to see the programming that they're putting in you. That's why it's called TV programming, because it's programming you. Telling a story, vision, television is giving you a vision, giving you a story to program your perception so your life will play out the way they want it. That way they can predict the future based off the information they gave you, based off the information they want you to be. You have to pay attention to look at it and understand. And, again, study. And when you first study it, it does come off a lot. But once you get past it, you realize it seemed like a lot just because you didn't know it. But once you know it, now you can see it. And this doesn't mean you have to stop watching it. You can still enjoy these shows. But now that you see that the program that they're giving to you, you're able to put up your mental blockers so it doesn't go into your subconscious. Okay, I'm done.
All right. See, I just give the example, and she just elaborates on the example. That's how this is going to work. Yeah.
Well, it ain't going to work as well because we about to shut it down. 7 minutes left.
No, we got 6 minutes.
Yeah, that's why I love our show. 7 minutes left. I'm about to do another shot. I'm going to do another shot of vodka since the show go off. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Good shot. What?
Right. Huh?
I'm not a quitter. No Alcoholics Anonymous here. I know my name.
I'm just going to be that alone. I was starting to say something, then I said, catch yourself, stop, catch yourself. Don't feed into that.
Does our new engineer have any questions or comments? She's been very quiet and very nice.
She got questions. She still there?
DJ. Hey, Mrs. DJ. DJ, are you there?
She might be slow. See what happens when she doesn't try to keep up with you.
That's you. That's you. There you go.
That DJ is gone. That DJ left us. what was I going to say? Well, as we close up, like I said, you know, even within the United States, Uncle Sam, the flag, the stars and stripes, the shield, even the idea of the use of the 13 colonies is reportedly used as a level of symbolism to create a certain mindset, not even a mindset, but it's used to represent, what was I going to say? It represents, what does the 13 colonies represent? Oh my goodness. Osiris, if I'm right. Osiris was chopped up into 14 pieces. He was chopped up into 14 pieces. And the number 13 is representative of the 13 colonies, represents the reconstitution of Osiris, which also in part is also connected to the phallus. The obelisk is the resurrection, because Isis or Asar, whichever one you want to go by, was impregnated by
Isis is not Asar. Asar is a dude. Isis is Asar.
I'm sorry. I said, that's right, you're right, I'm sorry. Asar is Osiris. Osiris is the Greek name that was given to them, to Asar. Yes, okay, my bad. I apologize. Sheesh, it's a rough audience.
I'm just trying
to
say, for someone who downloaded this show, they'd be like, what? How did this change us from a female to a male? Wait, what are we doing? I'm trying to help. I'm looking out for you. I'm trying to help you out.
I appreciate you looking out for me. So such a lovely
Thank
person.
You.
I appreciate you.
I got a compliment. I'll take that. Ain't gonna be many.
I'm sorry. Oh boy. But anyway, that the use of the number 13, we're taught, again, a lot of things, what I've realized is a lot of things that we're taught to dislike or be fearful of, normally the origins have good, you know, the origins and the symbolism behind it are good. They are typically, they have a positive connotation. It's almost meant to steer you away from it, so that you're not involved in it. And it's almost like that way I can indulge in it. I can steer you away from it so I can indulge in it.
Exactly.
I don't know why. It's not like there's no limited supply of it.
Well, it's not about having, it's not about being a limited supply. It's about making others believe there's a certain amount of supply so they can control the supply and demand. Like when you, it's just like, think about food. And we're told that certain people are starving and this, this, and that. Well, it's not that they're starving. It's that you took away their agriculture. So now you took away their agriculture and their means to trade, of course now they're starving. But if they learn again to irrigate the land that they're in, then they wouldn't be so-called, quote-unquote, starving. And then when you look at the idea of starving, most of them are not starving. Most of them are what we're supposed to look like if we're living off the land and toiling in the sun all day long. And I can say that as a fat person. Most of them are looking the way that we should look like if we're working the land all day out in the hot sun. But we don't do that. So we have this new idea of what health is supposed to be, and that's anything but health.
Mm.
You know, most people think, and one of the things that, even though I know most people find irony because I'm fat and I don't exercise, but most people don't realize, exercising doesn't make you healthy. Exercising rips and tears the tissue and causes scar tissue, and that scar tissue is what muscle is. But we see that muscle as beauty. Granted, even I still see that muscle as beauty on certain people. I'll admit that. But that doesn't mean it's health. That's ripping and tearing of muscles, and then it has to have scar tissue to come back, and that scar tissue is what makes it hard. And then as that scar tissue starts to heal, when they let that muscle relax or when they start working out, it goes, well, first of all, because of scar tissue and it's extra tissue, because scar tissue is always thicker than regular tissue, it gets fatter, and then you have to take the time, and you're supposed to stretch out the muscles and do it that way to release the toxins and on the right diet to get healthy again. But, you know, that's the other thing. The way our health society is, the signs and symbols and that, is totally backwards. That's not health at all, none whatsoever. Certain things can help you to get healthy, release endorphins, and to get you in that positive state. But at the same time, we're taught as far as exercise to go overboard. Like, it's never taught to just, you know, walk at a brisk pace around the corner. They tell you to jog. But that jogging puts a lot of wear and tear, especially on the shoes that we're wearing. It puts a lot of wear and tear on the feet, and it makes your feet, you know, all messed up. But, okay, I'm going to bring it back because I can go real deep into that. Surely can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
No, you can't, because now we're officially in overtime, because you only like to do an hour show. So anyone who's listening on the phone, just they heard that, but, you know, I love it. 90-minute show.
90 yeah. minutes. Well, we're shutting it down. I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, now she's done.
I swear, if you go into overtime, they're going to hear me taking shots, and I'm going to act a fool. What?
But anyway, thank you all for tuning in tonight, being part of tonight's show. Hopefully we'll get this right next month. You'll see us on Blab. You'll also we'll actually have a working DJ to work to engineer the soundboard.
One that's awake.
She got hung up. Like, an hour's up. You ain't do your job. You ain't stick to your part of the contract. I said, I stick to mine.
My contract was an hour. Y'all already a minute over. I am done. Bye. I like her. That's what I would do. I like her.
Join us tomorrow. Well, join me tomorrow. I don't know if the year comes. She'll never want to come. Join me tomorrow. We'll do about a 90-minute show. And we'll kind of wrap on a little bit, talking about symbolism and talking about symbolism and some of the things that we hear and discuss in our communities and how it affects us. So, Dia, that's
a
wrap.
The devil made me do it.
The devil. Yes, live.
The devil made me do it.
Yes, live. What's our outro? So I can. I don't even know.
Anything you choose. I don't think I uploaded one. I'm sorry.
Oh gosh. I think we need one and just stick with one.
Oh, my gosh, that's why I need a break so I can get things together, because I don't have it together. I need a break so I get it together. Maybe?
Yeah. Grizz, help her out. She needs a break. Help her out. Yeah. No problem. Okay. Anyway,
help me out. If he helps me out, I'll never get back to the show. He'll have me so relaxed. I'm like, screw everything. I ain't never come back to the show.
Oh, yeah. All right.
That's my man. I love you.
All right. Have a good night. Until the next time. We're doing a show next month. No.
Yeah, next month.
Next month is the last show. Is it? Yeah? Gosh, she done hung up on me. Anyway, thank you all for tuning in. I appreciate you being a part of tonight's show. If you're listening to the archive version, you're welcome to tune in and find us once a month on Common Sense Conversations, and also Seeking Empowerment once a month, our monthly show. You can also find us on Facebook under Seeking Empowerment. There's a fan page. Join it and be a part of that show, or be a part of that process, where we post a lot of articles, and we'll try to talk more nonsense over the next few months. Until then, have a good night and continue to seek empowerment. Peace.
Peace.
Oh, there you go. That was on Shane.